Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the inaugural episode of As I See It here on News Radio WRVA 1140 AM and 96.1 FM. I'm former United States Ambassador Howard Gutman. You can reach me on Twitter at TheHowardGutman, and a hearty good morning to you. So this show asks the fundamental question, who the heck needs another political commentary show? It's Saturday morning. We get it all week long. Surely we can do better on a Saturday morning. A golf show. A cooking show. Who the heck needs another political commentary show? Well, I submit, we all do. The focus of As I See It is to stay away from the Fox News talking points. To stay away from the MSNBC talking points. For a change, to focus as hard as we can on the facts. From the facts to see if we can find some shared truths, and in any event, to always deal in transparency. Hopefully we'll educate, perhaps each other, rather than spin, rather than argue for the sake of our team, in the hope that ultimately we are less different than we seem. And for gosh darn, we seem real different today. Now, so for me, I don't see East Coast elites and East Coast snobs, and I sure as heck don't see deplorables. I see interested Americans turning on their TVs. Of course, we often differ in our values. We have different economic interests. But I believe for each of us, the facts actually matter if we could hear them. So I suspect for 1 or 2 hours on a Saturday morning, learning the facts, for example, about who Joe Biden really is, or who Donald Trump really is, and not just the spin and attack, Burisma, or the latest tweet, I suspect that can matter and is worth a listen. And I welcome you to listen as we talk about those issues. Now, let me explain. We have two rather diverse audiences, most likely out there today. I love WRVA Richmond, News Radio WRVA, some great friends at the station. But WRVA generally is conservative, Republican, aligned with Fox. They have two of the brightest local hosts, mornings with John Reed, afternoons with Jeff Katz. I work with them all the time. They are the nicest Republicans I know and two of the sharpest Republicans I know. But if you tuned in hoping to hear the highlights of John Reed or Jeff Katz, I am not them. And for gosh sake, I am not Rachel Maddow. So if you are on radio.com and you hear former Ambassador Howard Gutman has an hour or two on Saturday morning, and you want to hear liberal Democrats spin, wait for Rachel Maddow later in the day. That's not me either. We are here looking for, hopefully, the truth. So who the heck am I? Well, Jeff and John would say I am the station's liberal. And you know, I hate labels. I'm an American. We all are. And we'll talk about my background as we learn perspective, whenever someone says something, it's based on their experiences and their background over time. But basically, I come from a very lower middle class childhood in Queens, New York, and then followed the American dream. I earned my way through grades to Columbia University, to Harvard Law School. From there, I went to a Fifth Circuit clerkship where I worked for one of the most liberal Democrat judges. And then I went to the United States Supreme Court and I worked for Potter Stewart and Sandra Day O'Connor, two of the most respected Republican judges. I spent a couple of years practicing law and then left to work in the Reagan-Meese Justice Department for FBI Director William Webster, one of the most outstanding Republican FBI directors. And I was a special assistant to Director Webster for counterintelligence and counterterrorism. Spent 27 years as a leading Washington lawyer. I never saw the swamp. I saw hardworking Washington lawyers. I was a litigator. I served as a litigator in the Bush-Gore Supreme Court case after the election on the side of Gore. And then after 27 years of practice, Barack Obama saved me from finishing at my desk as a lawyer. I would still be there today, by naming me U.S. Ambassador to Belgium. I served in Belgium from 2009 to 2013, and now I have the great joy of accompanying John and Jeff on our Politics and Pints episodes, where I get to show the other side, but hopefully not the liberal side. Because if you call me a liberal, then I have a team. And the only team I hope I have is the truth. I spent years doing Fox News on television, and Bill O'Reilly would let you say a sentence or two, and then he'd always say, "Counselor, you're off your game today." And I would say, "Bill, when you start saying I'm off my game, I know I'm on my game, and on went the games. But this time, hopefully we're going to have some truth." And why? Why do we need the facts? It's so much fun talking about the team. Well, it's because government politics have become too serious to be treated like a game. I promise you it can be entertaining, but we need to take it with deadly seriousness, as if our life, our welfare, our children's health and future and welfare, whether in climate or in budget, as if they depended on it, because they actually do. And that's better than talking points. So I'm not going to give you today's talking point is Burisma. I'm not going to give you today's talking point is making fun of the latest tweet. You deserve to hear the facts and make a decision. So I promise you this. I will never lie to you. I will treat you with the respect you deserve, but I will never pander to you. Let's get the facts out, and then we can honestly discuss it without posturing. So I hope to tell you what Fox News will tell you about a particular subject, what MSNBC will tell you about that same subject, and then as I see it. And as I see it, you will hope, didn't follow the talking points, it made some sense. And if it made some sense, we forward the dialogue. And if we forward the dialogue, hopefully we are better citizens, we are more informed, and we understand the challenges we face. So I won't lie to you, I'll ask a couple of things from you. First, tell people who might enjoy listening to me to listen. And even more so, tell people who will hate listening to me, they don't know a Democrat they like to hear from, tell them to listen, because we have too much to discuss that's too important. I don't mind thoughtful disagreement. We may start at different places. We may have different values. But for gosh sakes, let the decisions be made on the facts. So today, what's the lineup? We're going to spend, after the break, we're going to spend time talking about who is the real Joe Biden and what are the facts. First, we're going to talk about how did we get to this mess about a country divided, half believing one, half believing the other, and disliking the other side. Then later on, who is the Joe Biden? What am I hearing about Burisma and mental deficiency, and what is the truth? We're going to cover who is Donald Trump? What's the story about tax returns? Is this a Democrat plot? Do they matter? What's the story about the fact that he's still in business? Is that a problem? We have a special guest. Hopefully he will remember to call in, Senator Mark Warner, a 40-year buddy of mine. And then we've got some other treats in store on the other side of the break. But I look forward to moving forward right after this break. Welcome back. This is As I See It on News Radio WRVA 1140 AM and 96.1 FM. I'm former United States Ambassador Howard Gutman, and you can reach me on Twitter at the Howard Gutman. That's G-U-T-M-A-N, 1-T, 1-N, the Howard Gutman. So we are back, and this is the part where I have 15 minutes planned before my good buddy, Senator Mark Warner, is supposed to call in. But, you know, when you do shows like this, what do? You have a producer call his staff person, and his staff person has got him all prepped. But Senator Warner and I go back 40 years. We've been buddies a long, long time. So all I did is text him on Wednesday. He texted back. We caught up. And he said, remind me on Saturday morning. So I've got my fingers crossed because I reminded him on Saturday morning. But before we get to Senator Warner, let's look at the question of how did we get here? How did we get to a world where everybody is correct about politics? The 47% on one side are absolutely correct. The 47% on the other side are absolutely correct. And they don't agree on a single thing. How did we get to a world where our view about government or politics is the same as our views about football? Now, in football, when the Washington football team tomorrow plays the Dallas Cowboys, I assure you I will not be rooting for a great game. I will not be rooting for the better team to win. I couldn't give a heck if the Cowboys had 400 more total yards than the Washington football team. Whatever it takes, as long as at the end of the game, we win. And that's how sports is. I don't care if it's because the referee blew a call and they deserve to win. I want to win. And that's how sports should be. But how did our views of government and politics get to be there? Well, we have a team. And if one side has a tax cheat or has conflicts of interest, and the other side doesn't, the only thing that matters is, does that person have an R or a D? I remember when we used to care what's a person's ethics or morals or who's the best leader, not is he on my team? But somehow we got to the team. And I think it started with the O.J. Simpson trial. Hopefully I'm not dating myself too much. Hopefully many of you remember it. But the O.J. Simpson trial proved to cable television, that news could be entertaining 24 hours a day, as long as it was sensational, as long as every lead-in starts with breaking news. I've always wondered how every break there's breaking news. It has to be sensational. And that's fabulous for Fox. That's fabulous for MSNBC. It's fabulous for CNN, for OAN, and for whatever. They serve a great entertainment function. But they've kidnapped our thoughts about what's right and wrong, what's good policy and bad policy. We don't always have to agree with one side or the other. So the O.J. Simpson trial started it. What came next? What came next is the death of Walter Cronkite and the rise of social media. Now, I know I'm dating myself here, but 30, 40 years ago, we didn't have news bombarding us, politics bombarding us 24/7. We had a half hour at 7 and maybe a half hour at 11 of a newscaster giving us the facts. And then we could talk neighbor to neighbor about those facts and draw our own conclusions based on our values. But today, we don't get our news that way. We filter our news to hear what we want to hear. Our Facebook feeds, our Twitter feeds, Google gives us the things we're interested in. So I'm amazed when a Jeff Katz at WRVA or a John Reed or a Greg Henson, when they have seen story A, B, and C, and I've been watching all day, and I never heard of that. And similarly, how little they've heard about me. We have filtered what we hear, but we all suffer. When we filter what we hear, we've got to open our ears to the other side. What's the prime example of this? We call ourselves the greatest nation in the world, and we face the greatest health crisis of any of our lives in way more than a century. We are facing a pandemic. Now, that should be a health crisis, an economic crisis. But you know what COVID has become? COVID has become a political dispute. COVID got kidnapped by the Donald Trumps and the Joe Bidens and the MSNBC and the CNNs and the Fox News. And it went from a health crisis for which well-intended doctors who couldn't care about what party is in power. They've worked for the FDA. They have worked for the CDC. They've worked for the WHO, saving lives their entire time. They should be telling us what we need to do and how, because they are the smartest and the experts. And instead, the question isn't, do we face a pandemic that's killed over 220,000 people and is now potentially going to kill 500,000 Americans by the time we get out of this next March with a vaccine? The question isn't that. The question is, how well did we handle it and who's to blame? Well, I know who's to blame. It's a virus. I know that's something that that none of us can control, but the doctors, and the stars here are Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson or Moderna. The stars are Anthony Fauci or the head of the WHO. And it's time for the politicians to say, not every issue is left or right. It's not all about me. It's not all about them. It's about us. And what we did to COVID, I sit and shake my head every day. And then let's start my next favorite game. Whose fault is it? It's your five-year-old and your three-year-old at home. He started it. And we've got grown politicians pointing the finger and saying he started. Donald Trump's first press conference was, unlike China and everywhere else, we're doing a great job. What? What job about what? Tell us about a virus and what the properties are. And then the Democrats immediately not saying, we've got to work together and address a health risk. All they want to say is, Donald Trump, you blew it. I haven't even done anything yet. How do you know I blew it? Because we're running against you and you're running against us, and a pox on both their houses. So we've got to use your head. We've got to address these issues, understanding that they don't come in left and right. Things like ethics, things like conflicts, things like integrity, things like religion. These don't come in Democrat or Republican. These come in, just give me the facts. I'm smart enough to think about it myself. And so we should. And so we're going to take a look at the two most important men in our lives now, if you are focused on the political world, on the truth about Joe Biden and what you're hearing, and the truth about Donald Trump and what you're hearing. And then I would hope to have time to also take a look at what we should be knowing about COVID. And yes, oh yeah, I remember, there is an election coming up, and I'm expecting a couple of surprises, just happened to be timed with the start of the election. And so I will reveal my two likely surprises. They may not surprise you before we leave. Let me talk also about, I would love and I plan in future weeks to take your calls. And when you call, don't tell me I'm stupid, I know it. Don't tell me I'm short, I can't grow taller. Don't tell me my glasses are ugly. You can tell me you disagree with me because here's the facts I left out. You can tell me that I've never thought of X or Y, but I'm not growing any taller. You'll never think me smart if you disagree with my politics and that makes you think I'm stupid. But I'd love to hear your side of it. But today we've got the inaugural episode. We're hoping after the break in a few minutes to have Senator Mark Warner with us. And another thing is, I promise you, I will have Republicans on as well. I have begun my lobbying of Bill Shine to be my guest next week. He said, let me think about it, so we'll know it's not me, it's him. Bill Shine was Deputy White House Chief of Staff and the head of programming at Fox News for a very long time and is a terrific Republican. So I'd hope to bring Bill Shine to you as well next week. In fact, if you tweet me, knowing the guest in advance, if you tweet me during the week about something you would like to hear from that guest coming up, and I will do my best each week to announce the following Saturday's guest, then I would be delighted to have that guest address your questions, your concerns, and hopefully we can get to some answers. So we've heard a lot of issues about Joe Biden that we're going to try to sort out. We've heard about really, I guess they come down to two things. Is Joe Biden suffering mental deficiency? If you listen to my dear friend Jeff Katz, he has the nicest ways to put the word senility. He says it every which way. And also, is Joe Biden an unethical, money-grubbing person who compromises his whole career for either China or the Ukraine to line his pockets? And I suspect that's what you've heard. And I promise you, we will address that today. And then certainly Donald Trump. What are the two biggest issues we need to address from Donald Trump? Well, are the Democrats just out to get him? What is this about tax returns? Why do the tax returns matter? And what is this about his ethics, about his owning hotels? Why is this such a big deal? Does this really matter, or is this just the Democrats trying to get the guy? They lost the election, so they spend the next 4 years trying to refight the election. And if I say nothing else to you today, we're going to address both of those right on the other side of our break. And hopefully when we get back, we will have the senior senator from Virginia and my dear friend with us. You are listening to News Radio WRVA, 1140 AM and 96.1 FM. I'm Howard Gutman. Follow me on Twitter at @TheHowardGutman. We'll talk to you right after this. Welcome back to As I See It on News Radio WRVA 1140 and 96.1. I'm former U.S. Ambassador Howard Gutman. You can reach me on Twitter at @TheHowardGutman, and I'm delighted to be with you. So before the break, I set up two issues. And at least you can say he's got guts. In his inaugural episode, he addressed the question, is Joe Biden suffering some form of Alzheimer's or some form of senility? Because that's what John Reed and Jeff Katz and Bill O'Reilly and everybody on the one side says. And second, is he really dirty? Is this man at 77 years old turned his career to money? Has he really gone out there looking for money and to compromise himself with foreigners, China, the Ukraine? We'll never duck it, I told you, and I'll always tell you the truth. So let's take a look at who is Joe Biden. So Fox News will tell you that part of it, what the mental capacity issues they'll raise and they'll laugh. The ethical issues now, that's the talking point. By the way, what do I mean about talking points? Well, whether or not you know it, each party gets together on a conference call every morning, usually 7:30, 8 o'clock. And the campaigns tell them, what are those days' talking points? And then the surrogates, they fan out, and they do the shows, and they stick to the talking points. That's what they do. And that's the Republican line, and you'll see it, Laura Ingraham later in the day, you'll see it on guests appearing on CNN. And so if it's Burisma, you just say Burisma as many times as you can. Give me a B, give me a U, give me an R. If it's Hunter Biden, you just say Hunter Biden, and you guys are sitting there listening, and okay, they're talking about it. There must be something there. If there's smoke, there's fire. If Joe is misspoken, or if he was supposed to talk for 10 seconds and he talked for 7 minutes, they then talk about mental capacity, and that's the talking point. And the Democrats do the same exact thing, the talking points. Now, how do I know? I've been on those calls. I have been there for the talking points, and I have been talking points. When the Republicans decide they want to attack various things, I've been there a couple of times. In fact, I once called my dear friend Ed Rogers and said, Ed, there was a misquote about something I said, and I don't want the Republicans trying to make hay on it. Could you do me a favor and let them know, that I'm a good guy and what my position is on it? And he said, Howard, you're too late. The morning call was 7:30. You're on the talking points. Keep your head down. And it will go away. So that's the talking point. So let's address them. My wife shares is a passionate Democrat. She's a fabulous Democrat. And she's at the debates. She's tense. Give it to him, Joe. Why don't you say this or that? And I turn to her and say, he's not Pete Buttigieg. If you want the most articulate, polished debater in the world, get Pete Buttigieg. But he's not the right man for the job. He's not Amy Klobuchar, the right person for the job. The articulate kind of at the debate, fighting full of facts. She gave a beautiful opening at the Amy Barrett hearings. That's not who Joe is. Who Joe is right now, he's Joe. But Joe may be the right man for the job. He's been around for 47 years. And is he too old? As Jeff Katz likes to say, is he having some sort of mental deficiency? Well, the thing about Joe is he's been Joe for a very long time. If you take a look at David Plouffe's book talking about the selection of Biden as vice president back in 2009, David Plouffe, writes about a then sitting vice president of his party. Quote, he was known to test even the Senate standard for windiness, taking an hour to say something that required 10 minutes. Later in the book, he said, we knew when we picked Joe Biden to be vice president that we would have two or three gaffes because Joe always makes gaffes. Yes, if you want the polish, you're not going to get it. If you want the most articulate debater, that's not Joe. But is that something new? Is that someone who can't speak? Is that new? The Joe Biden I've known for decades has never been polished. He's just been one heck of a gentleman who's been around for 47 years. It is a fact that he has had more meeting with world leaders than anybody in our country. He has seen it all. And he remains the Joe Biden today. So what kind of character is he? Well, we hosted him in Belgium. We hosted him in Belgium, and you knew it wasn't political correctness. It may be malarkey, but it's the malarkey that is really him, the Irish malarkey, talking about his grandmother and his famous favorite poets. He gets off the plane. I picked up every political official. I picked up Hillary Clinton, a little bit of a cold shoulder. John Kerry, nice guy, polished. Joe Biden, he turned to my younger son, Chase, and he wanted to know what Chase thought of being dragged by his dad to Belgium to live there, because Joe knew what it was like to raise a family. He actually cared. How did I know he cared? He listened to Chase longer than I've ever listened to Chase. When we had the reception at the embassy, I had achieved quite a bit at that embassy, but Joe knew I had gotten a lot of applause in Belgium. Joe talked about my wife, Michelle, and how she had to give up her dental practice and the sacrifices women or spouses or men, when it's their wives, make when you serve in government. And I got to tell you, Joe Biden remains my wife's favorite person today. It wasn't about political spin. He knew I needed my ego boosted like a hole in the wall. And he knew that those words would matter to Michelle. He's a genuine nice guy. Now, is this genuine nice guy a corrupt guy? What about this Burisma and China and 3.5 million and 4 million? And what is all this? Well, Joe Biden served in government for 47 years. He is probably the most transparent American there has been, because we know for almost all of them, Joe Biden was one of the poorest members of Congress. He may have been the poorest member of Congress. Every year they file their financial disclosures and he's given his tax returns. And Joe basically made his salary on the Hill somewhere between $140,000. I would love to continue the story, and I will on the other side, but it's a real treat today. It's a treat, hopefully, for you, and I know it's a treat for me to introduce my guest. Full disclosure, Senator Mark Warner and I have been friends since the first day of law school in 1977. We're over 40 years together. He was at my wedding in 1981. He was at my son's wedding in 2010. I have campaigned across Virginia, gone shad planking. I've sweated close elections, and he has always had my back. If you're going to go into battle, there's no one I'd rather go battle with more than Mark Warner. So I'm proud to introduce Senator Mark Warner, but also my buddy Mark Warner. Senator, it's great to have you in the inaugural episode of As I See It. I've pledged not to repeat the talking points and the daily rhetoric of either Democrats or Republicans. This isn't a Fox News and MSNBC mouthpiece. And there's no one I know who calls it like he sees it better than you. So let me ask you the first question. First of all, it's wonderful to have you. I hope you're doing great.
Well, Howard, thank you. And I apologize. I literally had just finished speaking at a real event with real people, not in Zoom, where we're unveiling a statue of a civil rights leader in Manassas, Virginia, and the program went a little bit long. So I know I'm 5 or 6 minutes late. And for your listening audience, Howard is a friend of 40 years, but you do not want to get on the wrong side of Howard Gutman. So I managed to slip off to the side here to make sure I could do this calling. Congratulations on you having this program. I think as the listeners will find, you bring a fresh, thoughtful, and oftentimes provocative approach to all the issues of the day. So it's a real honor for me to join you on your first show.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Now, Senator, you know, some of the audience will be on radio.com, and they could be left side of the spectrum or right side of the spectrum. But most of our audience on WRVA is more of used to conservative talk show hosts like my good friends John Reed or Jeff Katz. And so why should a diehard Republican conservative audience pull the Warner level when they vote in 9 days or if they're voting now? Is there a reason where you would say everyone should re-up you for the job, that you want to be rehired? Why should this audience vote for Mark Warner?
Well, Howard, I hope there's a number of reasons. One, I think I bring a distinction that not many have in the Congress. As somebody who spent longer in business than I have in politics, I can read a balance sheet. I know that you've got to make investments, but you've got to also do that in a prudent manner. And I hope a lot of the listeners will remember my time as governor when Virginia was in a deep budget deficit. I came in as a Democratic governor and worked with a 2-to-1 Republican legislature, and Virginia got named the best managed state in the whole country, got named the best state for business. I've gone to the Senate where things are a bit more partisan, but as we try to get our economy reopened, one of the things I took a great deal of pride in was that President Trump actually picked me, one of the few Democrats, to be on his economy reopening task force because he knows my record of both in business and in getting things done. And at the end of the day, my hope is that Virginians will realize, even before the pandemic, that our economy was rushing into a more and more technology-driven world, and that a lot of the issues we face are not red versus blue or conservative versus liberal, but they are really, who understands the future issues of technology and empowerment and how everybody gets a fair shot versus those issues that are versed in the past. And final comment, I guess I'd just say on this is, people say, well, what are you going to break with your party? Well, just this past week, I broke with my party when I said, even though it wasn't perfect, I would vote for the Republican proposal to increase the small business support program, the PPP program. So I hope that record of putting Virginia first will earn at least some consideration. If you take a look at my record and you take a look at the folks who are supporting me, like former Republican Senator John Warner, who had the job before me, that I could earn some of the listener support.
Senator, you and John Warner, for example, have a great relationship and you were on different sides of the aisle. You ran against each other, and yet there was a mutual respect and almost a friendship or maybe a friendship. And yet today, I'm denoting there's a partisan anger, sort of a nastiness and an ugliness to American politics. Am I right that it's getting worse, or do I just have a short memory?
Well, no, I think it depends. We're all responsible for our own behavior. for example, I have lots of issue differences with my opponent, but I also have a great deal of respect. He served our country bravely in the military. He sacrificed. He was grievously wounded and came out and has really rebuilt his life. That is something I have enormous respect for. I have different policy differences, but on a personal basis, respect him. I am disappointed, though, and I don't know kind of what kind of, you know, sometimes I think the political advisors twist things. And my opponent, unfortunately, has done nothing but made personal attacks against me throughout this whole campaign. He said he wanted to kick me in the teeth, and I was a stake in the grass. And, you know, I've heard very little about what he wants to do other than personal attacks and misrepresentations of my record. And I fear when people, sometimes when the political advisors say that's the only way you can get things done, you end up with this politics of personal vendetta. Now, I try to ignore that. I mean, I think about my work, for example, with Secretary Mnuchin, Mr. Trump's Treasury Secretary. We've worked very well together on the first COVID relief package. We helped negotiate over $2 trillion of investment. I think Secretary Mnuchin is trying desperately to get another big deal done, which we desperately need right now. I think about my work that I'm doing right now with the Republican chairman of the Banking Committee, Mike Crapo, where we've got joint legislation to make record investments in community development financial institutions that will invest in, you know, women-owned businesses, black-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses in low-income areas. So there is a lot more, I think, personal relations in the Senate than the press gives credit to. Sometimes the so-called leadership ends up sniping at each other all the time. But I tell you, of the 55 bills, now 56 bills that I've had become law, I've had a Republican partner on every one of them. And, you know, And I say that because, you know, one of the things that's so important is that if you build a piece of legislation with people on both sides, when you get it passed into law, chances are it's never going to be perfect. You know, you're going to then need to come back and improve it. But if both sides are invested in it, then you're committed together to making it work better. When we don't have that happen, I'll give you two quick examples. One was with the case of Obamacare, the ACA. You know, there's good things in it. There's things that need to be improved. But so many of my Republican friends, because they were not involved in the initial drafting, they've just been about tearing it down. Or vice versa, when President Trump put forward his tax reduction plan, he didn't involve any Democrats in it. So that means the Democrats have no ownership in how to improve it. So I do think on your basic question, though, Howard, below the kind of sound bites, there are still, at least in the Senate, I can't speak to the House, but at least in the Senate, deep, deep bipartisan relationships that really still make the place work. Not as well as it should work, but generally work.
So real quick, because I know we're late and I'm up against a break, but about working together, it's a fact that a larger percentage of Republicans will vote at the polls this year, and a larger percentage of Democrats will be voting mail order and in advance. And so we may know the tallies from the at the polls the day of the election, but it may be weeks till those mail ballots get counted in some critical states. And there'll be a time when it might look like the results in the state are one way, but they'll be flipping every day as the mail ballots get counted. And I suspect that will be met with suspicion. Are you worried about possible post-election chaos? And if so, what are you and your colleagues on both sides of the aisle going to do to remember that we've got to put America first?
Well, I am worried about that. And I was glad to see the Director of National Intelligence and the FBI director the other day, you know, again, call out Iran and Russia for trying to intervene. And remember, each country may have a particular preferred candidate, but at the end of the day, what they want the most is just chaos in this country. Vladimir Putin wants to say, look, you know, this democracy in America is not working, so he can continue to impose his authoritarianism on the people of Russia. That's why, for example, my partner on the intelligence community, Marco Rubio, and I did a joint statement the other day saying, everybody, take a deep breath. It may take a day or two. I think in Virginia, we may know earlier because most people are actually voting early in person, and you can simply press a button then and tabulate those votes quickly. But this election is really about who we are going to be as a country. And, you know, there would be nothing that the bad guys want more than for us to start to question the validity of our election.
Thank you so much. This is Senator Mark Warner to me, my dear friend Mark Warner. For both of them, I thank you. Wish you best of luck and Godspeed.
Howard, thank you so much. And I know for your listeners, this is a voice you ought to hear. Howard will always be provocative, and as I've known him for 40 years, and he is an equal opportunity offender. He will prod hypocrisy and lack of clear thinking on either side. So I wish you all the best on WRVA and all of the other distribution of this network.
Thanks so much. Take care. Best to Lisa. So I think we're going to cut to a break, and we'll be back. I promise to finish Joe Biden. We won't get to very much of the rest, but we have other weeks ahead. But I'll get to the Joe Biden and Burisma after the break. And welcome back to As I See It on News Radio WRVA, 1140 AM and 96.1 FM. I'm former U.S. Ambassador Howard Gutman. You can reach me at Twitter at TheHowardGutman. And once again, I really appreciate Senator Mark Warner coming on to be our inaugural guest. And you never need to add to his words. I think they speak fabulously for themselves. I was in the middle of Joe Biden and Burisma. I had hoped to get an equal time on Donald Trump today, and I had hoped to tell you the truth about COVID. But we will be back next week. Let's at least wrap up Joe Biden and Burisma in a couple minutes we have left. So here's the theory. We're being told every day that Joe Biden now, when he's planning to run for president, decides he's going to get dirty with foreign money and foreigners. And China and Ukraine. Well, we know it's the Joe Biden who for 47 years got a government paycheck, a government pension towards money towards his pension, put it in the bank every year and disclosed it. We saw it for 47 straight years. And we know he did an amazing thing when he finished as vice president. He increased his net worth, of course, by $13 million, but he did it solely on speaking fees and books. And we know where every nickel came from. It's been disclosed on his tax returns. We know where every nickel went. He bought a house at the beach. He has a mortgage on the house at the beach. This is a man who, to take care of his kids' commute every day between Delaware and Washington on the Amtrak. No chauffeurs on the Amtrak every day. So we know exactly the $13 million Joe Biden made and where it's from. How do I know he wasn't monkeying business in the back? Because Joe Biden's been running for president since the minute Hillary Clinton lost in this respect. When I went to see his top people, Steve Ricchetti or Ron Klain, back in 2017 and said, I'd like to help. They said, well, we're not sure we're going to run. But in any event, I'm technically registered as a lobbyist. I do some work for offshore wind interests. And we're not going to go near you as a lobbyist. Howard, we love you. We think you add a great deal to the Democrats. But it's too important that we not mess up. People will hold against us if we have a lobbyist. And that is how these people live. They lived to say, you can only make money from speaking fees. No boards, no foreign money on things that were legal and transparent. So we're supposed to believe that what he actually did is have a secret deal for Burisma or have a secret deal for China. Now, what did happen? What a shock. A grown child related to someone famous trades on their parents' name. Do you know who my father is? It does help to have a Hunter Biden, regardless of who his father is. It gives credibility to every, and because of who his father is, it gives credibility. If you have a grown child, you go see if you could tell them, I prohibit you from being on a board. You go tell them, I won't let you buy this house. I won't let you take that action. I have grown children. And I love my grown children, but I don't have a say in their lives. And so that's what happened with Hunter Biden. You can't say a word about how it affects Joe. But I can tell you that when we look at Ivanka and we look at Jared, Joe did an amazing thing at the debate. He didn't say, what are you talking about me? Let's look at you. He just said it's not true. Anyway, it's been a pure joy being with you. Let's tune in next Saturday at 10 on As I See It on News Radio WRVA, 1140 AM, 96.1 PM. I'm former Ambassador Howard Gutman. Have a great week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!